There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Talking shopping now, because CBRE has released its annual list of cities that retailers and restaurants all want to be in. We are joined by Nick McLean, who's the Managing Director for CBRE here in the Middle East. Nick, it's nice to see you again. Thanks for coming.
Randy, thank you for the invitation.
Remind me with this survey what we're looking at.
Each year we look at about 330 retailers who have presence outside their country of origin, defined as international retailers. And that takes us to look at 191 cities around the world, 61 countries. And what we try to determine is which countries have received new brands or expansion, and which countries going forward are the targets for expansion from these international retailers.
Right. So when retailers are looking overseas, where do they go? Dubai has come in second behind Hong Kong.
Yeah.
It sounds good, but I was looking at the gap between first and second place. 86 brands chose to move into Hong Kong, 59 into Dubai. That's quite a difference.
Yep. Hong Kong has done very well. But if you look at the rest of the data from the report, Dubai comes in at number one with a total volume of international retailers who are present in this marketplace. So for Dubai to be effectively the most broadly represented and to come in at number two on the targeting is a pretty good achievement.
What would we have to do to be number one in terms of the targeting?
Dubai has a very interesting situation at the moment. It's got a large volume of new accommodation coming. What we hear from some retailers who want to come into this market and don't is that they don't like the sponsored model. So I think if we wanted a greater volume of people coming new to this marketplace, we should look, and I think there are movements to look at this anyway, the sponsored model of retailers coming into this marketplace. I think we also look at the way that the market is working, more data for the marketplace to provide to the retailers. So research and the legal structure about which they operate in this market are two key projects.
What about the rents, Nick, at the moment? We know certainly in the super malls, the likes of Dubai Mall, Mall of the Emirates, the rents can be pretty high, and retailers do complain that given it's a sluggish market at the moment for retail, particularly luxury retail, this is making the business model very, very tricky. What can be done there? How big a problem is it? And if it is a problem, what can be done there?
At the moment, the total volume of retail space in the market is about 32 million square feet, and we have another 15 million square feet coming into the market, so an expansion of about 50%. That's probably good news for retailers and probably not so good news for landlords, because the market for accommodation is going to become extremely competitive. So what we believe is that the overall cost of accommodation and occupation for the retailers is likely to decline over the next 5 years, which will help the retailers. But it also means that competition amongst landlords and amongst, frankly, the retail stables is going to get much more fierce over the next few years.
And if we look at you talked about 32 million existing and another 15 million on the way. How much of that existing 32 million do you think will be knocked out by this trend, will be demolished and replaced with, I don't know, residential real estate, or will be repurposed into something else?
It's not just a Dubai issue, it's a global issue at the moment. I don't think that this market can bear an additional net increase of 50%, and therefore we probably know of malls or locations which are not doing well from a retail perspective, and they must look at alternative uses. Whether or not the structure of those buildings is used for hospital malls or other forms of leisure is debatable, but undoubtedly some of the locations which have retail focus are likely to be put to other uses going forward.
And which would be the best practice so far that we've seen of a mall successfully doing that? I've got a couple in my mind, but what would you say can we point to as an example of a mall that has done or is doing that?
There are a couple of examples of malls that are refreshing themselves, quite costly to do that. Festival City, for instance, has gone through a significant refurbishment, is now pretty busy.
But it's staying as retail, isn't it? It's not repositioning itself.
Yeah, what we don't have at the moment is a major mall within the country which has been evolved into some other usage, but I suspect we'll see it within the next 2 or 3 years.
One of the things that surprised me in this report was that retailers were expanding internationally at all in a physical sort of bricks and mortar presence. I mean, I can see that that's actually fallen down 3% from yep. last year's activity, because of course if you want to go into a new country now, you can just go in online, can't yep. you?
Well, I think the interesting, we've in putting this report together, we found quite a lot of data about the behaviour of retailers and customers. And so this year we've split the report into two parts, and the second part is out in November. And we've looked very closely at alternative uses for malls and online retailing. And we have quite a lot of data produced by governments around the world as to the penetration of online retailing. So, for instance, in the UAE, it's still less than 3%, but in the UK, it's now 17% as of 31st of March. But still, the UK is a key target for expansion for future retailers into bricks and mortar. The number one location for online sales is China, and yet Hong Kong comes out as the number one location for targeting future expansion. So there seems to be a correlation between the success of online retailing and the expansion of bricks and mortar. So bricks and mortar is not dead yet.
What do you expect to see going forward, though? I mean, we do have a drop between last year and this year. 3% isn't major, but it is a decline in the number of international retailers that are expanding. What do you expect to see as sort of the greater future trend?
The fact that Dubai has more than 60% of retailers means that 40% of all international retailers are not here yet. So we think there will be some expansion continuing to go forward. The pace of expansion has to be linked with online sales, and that the growth of online sales for the UAE in particular is going to grow significantly with the arrival of some of the names that we know. So, but that there will be a continuing expansion, as we see it, of bricks and mortar retailing.
What does that do to pricing and the attractiveness of coming into these markets, though? Because Hong Kong is not a cheap market to go shopping in, and let's be fair, neither is Dubai. There was a study done recently in which a Louis Vuitton handbag was priced all around the world, and basically the further you got away from France and from Europe, the more expensive it yep. became. With increased internet shopping comes increased price transparency. So how does that affect brands moving into what they might think of as a lucrative market, knowing that the prices that they're going to charge on the ground are going to be compared with their home markets?
Yeah, and this is actually good for the shoppers going forward, because retailers have got to keep their eyes on those prices. And we've seen evidence of this in the Chinese markets between various cities in China and comparative with Hong Kong. There's been a migration of people who wanted to buy things from Shanghai and Beijing to Hong Kong. And therefore, some of the retailers have adjusted their prices so they're flat across the whole territory. And this is going to be accelerated with online shopping coming forward.
Nick, talk to me about what's happening in other parts of this region. Dubai's shopping malls, the existing 32 million square feet, they're going to have to compete with the additional 50 million square feet we're getting in Dubai. But they're also got to compete with things like Al Maria Central in Abu Dhabi, which is coming up in Abu Dhabi. We know that Brandy Scott has stood on the roof of it already, so it's clearly underway. And then, of course, we have developments in Saudi Arabia. Just yesterday, we had the guys from Altayar Travel saying that they thought short weekend trips that a lot of Saudis take to places like Dubai and Abu Dhabi may now become short trips to Riyadh instead, when they have an entertainment centre, when they have shopping malls, when they have cinemas, and so on. How are the regional dynamics changing?
Insofar as Saudi is concerned, I think the concept of replacing Dubai as a weekend destination by Riyadh for the foreseeable future is probably not a threat. I think it may be in due course, but not at the moment, because people, tourists, particularly from KSA, which is among, of course, the most important markets for the UAE, come to Dubai for other reasons than just buying an item of retail shopping. Insofar as Abu Dhabi is concerned, in spite of the volume of retail space and the importance of expansion of retail space in Abu Dhabi, if you look at one of the malls any day during the week and see and count the number of Abu Dhabi number plates in Dubai Mall or Mall of the Emirates, etc., it's still important. So the region as a whole, a retail facility, especially one of the super regional malls, has a function beyond just shopping.
That, funny enough, you've touched on something there, because looking at the Abu Dhabi numbers out of this report, I mean, Dubai had, 59 new entrants last year? Abu Dhabi had 24, so less than half, and yet we do have all of those new spaces coming up in Abu Dhabi. Mm. Why isn't it necessarily attracting the new entrants in there?
There's an interesting a couple of interesting statistics about the way that people who are resident in the US spending their money at the moment. And there's a disproportionate level of spending within the Emirates to Dubai, regardless of the emirate in which people are resident here at the moment. So Dubai at the moment is a beacon for retailing, but clearly the developers within Abu Dhabi want to stop some of that flow of people travelling up the road, up the Sheikh Zayed Road to Dubai, and keep them at home within their emirate.
How do retailers, when they are expanding, look at the two cities? Do they see it as one market? Once you've got the logistics set up in one, you might as well be in the other. Because we know Macy's are coming into Almaria Central, for example, not here in Dubai. They're going to get the first Macy's in Abu Dhabi. So how do these big players view the two cities as working together?
In our experience, that decision is unusual. Dubai is normally the bridgehead for international retailers, not just to come into the UAE, but to come into the region as a whole. Of course, a special relationship with either a developer or a sponsor may make that decision different. But at the moment, without any special relationships here, then Dubai is the number one location for first entry into the GCC markets.
Thanks very much for joining us this morning, talking us through your new Global Business of Retail report. Nick McLean is the Managing Director for CBRE in the Middle East. We appreciate your time.
Thank you.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.